As we moved further into the 11th chapter of Hebrews last week, we began to read about Abraham as an example of one of the Old Testament saints who lived by faith. His inclusion is particularly important, not only because of his journey of faith, which is quite impressive, as in fact it's described at length in the Old Testament, and it was well known by the first century Jewish Christians. And it was important because of his patient endurance awaiting God's promises. But it was also important because Abraham was looked up to as the ancient forefather of the Jews. Now, these Christians to whom the letter is written, these Christians were being persecuted by their fellow Jews for their faith in Jesus. Both groups of Jews looked to Abraham as their ancestor. The Christians needed to be encouraged by his patient endurance, and their persecutors needed to be convinced that God was not pleased with Abraham because of any good works he did, but only because of his faith in God. You remember they had, at this time, had really basically corrupted the ancient Jewish faith into a works-based religion. In John 8:39 and following, Jesus told those who were actively opposing him that even though they were descended from Abraham, they were not acting as his children. They could not bear to listen to and obey his word. Now, as spiritual children of Abraham, God's adopted children, let us seek the Holy Spirit's help in hearing his word. May the Lord be with each and every one of you.
And also with you.
Thank you. Heavenly Father, we are your adopted children. We want to hear and obey your word, but we are weak, easily distracted, prone to wander from your precepts. We ask for the Holy Spirit to strengthen us, to focus our minds and subdue our hearts. Reveal from this, your holy word, more of your glorious character and your wonderful works to the eternal praise of your name. And all God's children say, amen. Please follow in your Bibles as I read the primary text for today from Hebrews 11, verses 11 and 12. And in fact, I'll actually back up and begin reading from the 8th verse so as to review a bit from last week. Verse 8, chapter 11, Hebrews. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. That's where we got to last week, and we're going to put that thought off a little bit about the coming city of God for just a bit later. And we get in today's verse, two verses actually. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. So God gave a command to and made promises to Abraham. Abraham then obeyed and patiently waited. By piecing together what Stephen says in Acts 7 and what Moses wrote in Genesis 12 and what Joshua said in chapter 24 and using information from archaeologists, last week we saw that God appeared to Abraham when he was in the wealthy and highly civilized city named Ur that was in the southern region of what is now Iraq, near the Persian Gulf. God told him to go out from your land and from your kindred and to go into the land that I will show you. So he traveled north about 800 miles to a trade route city named Haran with some of his closest relatives, leaving the rest of his kindred behind. Joshua 24 tells us that they had been serving other gods in Ur prior to this. These were not Yahweh worshipers, you understand. They were pagan idolaters. Apparently, God appeared to Abraham again in Haran, giving him further commands and promises recorded in Genesis 12, saying, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, emphasis, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So, verse 4 in Genesis 12. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarah, his wife. And then, skipping just a bit, at that time the Canaanites were in the land. Verse 7, then the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, and this is important, well, all of it's important, but for today's text, said to Abraham, to your offspring I will give this land. Now, we're not told about the obvious struggles of traveling the 800 miles to Haran or the 700 more miles to Canaan. We do have mention of the deaths of his father and his brother, but no details other than the fact that his brother's children were taken in by the family. And that is how his nephew Lot came under Abraham's care, and his wife Sarah also was his half-sister. The point is that Abraham must have had trials that we are not told about. Some probably quite serious. But God graciously appeared to him at least several times, granted him faith, and also worked in him to develop and increase his faith through even more trials. He didn't know what he was getting into. And I almost said it last week. This is just reviewing from last week. I remember when talking to Sam here about becoming an elder. And he was, says, well, what... kind of, not exactly these words, but basically, what am I getting myself into? And I told him, I don't know. He already had all the teaching. It wasn't that, you see. What's going to happen? I don't know. But it's going to be interesting. And we'll watch God work. Okay, well, that was just an aside. But anyway, Abraham He and Sarah, they lived in a tent from then on. Never settled down, you see. Never got a house like Lot did, you know. The only piece of land that they ended up owning was a small burial plot. They must have wondered how all the families of the earth would be blessed in him. What's God talking about? Hang in there. Let's find out, you see. Well, there's still, he never did find out a lot of what was going on. But as the years went by, they did experience God fulfilling his promise to bless them. He blessed them with flocks and herds and servants, but they also saw him bless those that blessed Abraham and curse those that cursed Abraham. It was the Lord's doing. Another test, when a famine came and they moved to Egypt in an apparent lapse of faith, they got into a pickle by lying. Because Sarah was very good looking, Abraham assumed that the Egyptians would kill him to have her for their own. So you can read the account in Genesis 12, 10 to 20, but they had not thought through the promises God had made, which, if true, would have made what they feared impossible. Somewhat like the kings of Israel who feared, oh, they're going to come and get me, and said, hey, aren't you a son of David? You know. So God got them out of that mess in Egypt, but they did make the same mistake later again. They weren't perfect, far from it. Apparently, before they even set out for Canaan, they had devised this scheme, you see, to lie about being married and to only say that they were brother and sister to presumably protect Abraham. He knew the hearts of men. He knew what they were like. Eventually, though, they learned to just trust the Lord. It's likely hard for us to appreciate the spiritual struggles of Abraham and Sarah. In fact, we might make a hasty and harsh judgment on them for what we've just been describing, forgetting our own weaknesses and sins. We might say, but God appeared to them in visions and spoke to them audibly, forgetting those times were few and far apart over many, many years. They were surrounded by pagans, and they had absolutely no written scriptures, no rich Judeo-Christian heritage like we do. Every week we sing psalms, we have hymns, we read the scriptures. We sometimes hear of the lives of saints who have gone before. Oh, gee, I guess we're kind of doing that now, aren't we? Reading about Abraham and Sarah. But they didn't have that, you see. How hard it must have been. So Yahweh stooped to their need in sovereign grace, as he does with us. After Abraham and Sarah and Lot returned from Egypt, they had so many flocks and herds that Abraham, for the sake of peace, allowed Lot to choose where they would each reside apart from one another, so they wouldn't interfere and get in their servants get quarreling. So Lot chose the richer valley region and eventually ended up in the city of Sodom. And of course, I'm reviewing this, and in fact, I wondered about how much of the story we should tell. And I was thinking of Oscar and Evelyn and all these kids, right? Sitting there. Oh, let's hear the story. Abraham and Sarah pitched their tent, though, in the hills. We won't take time to review again Abraham's rescue of Lot from the pillaging kings and his meeting with Melchizedek. We did that some time ago. Instead, I'd like to next direct your attention to what follows in the history. Genesis 15. And I'll read for you the first six verses. If you'd like to turn there, it'd be useful. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. This is Genesis 15:1. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless. Okay, important for today's text. And the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir, as one of his servants. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside. And of course, this was at night. It didn't say it was at night. How do we know? He says, Abram, look toward heaven and number the stars. Ah, there you go. And of course, in that desert air, they must have been just shining so brilliantly and just millions of them. If you're able to number them. Did I skip something? No. Look toward heaven and number the stars if you're able to number them. And then he said to them, So shall your offspring be. And the next verse, very important, but again, we're going to put it off. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. You know how important that is brought up in the New Testament. As we said last week, the point Hebrews keeps bringing us back to is that a person who has been given true faith in God not only has a beginning in it, but also has an ongoing perseverance. This is because it is of God who is faithful. You know, we are His project, not our own. No self-made men here, you see. Yes, He involves us, but it is His eternal purpose that brings us through to ever sweeter promises. Yes, we work out our salvation with fear and trembling, but it is because God freely works His will in us and our circumstances in our life. God has brought Abraham and Sarah through all the things we have said so far today. And with Lot's moving away, they are entering a different phase of God's plan. They weren't really exactly alone, but you know, they had servants and so forth. But they got to be thinking, now what? He's already promised to give Canaan to their descendants. But try as they may, Sarah is still barren. Then can't you just hear the conversation? He walks in after hearing this from the Lord about the stars and all that. He says to Sarah, My princess, that's by the way what her name means, Sarai, you know, my princess. The Lord and I spoke to each other in a vision last night. I asked how our children would inherit this land since we don't have any kids and it doesn't look like we're going to either. But he swore to me that my very own son would inherit it. And I believe him. He took me outside. He told me to look at the multitude of stars and that my offspring would be like that. Of course, I'm filling in some blanks there, but they certainly talked. Okay. So here they are about 10 years after arriving in the promised land. Sarah then convinces Abraham that since she apparently can't have children and God told Abraham that he was going to have a son from his own body, he should impregnate her slave girl, Hagar. And that's a whole story in itself that we're skipping over because it's not really the point. He agreed, and Ishmael was born. Problem solved. Don't be too critical. It's easy to be. Don't forget what was going on. I'm sure it seemed logical to Sarah, even though it wasn't her first choice, you know. But God acts for his own glory. And he already had planned how he would fulfill his promise. Now, the birth of Ishmael and the history of his descendants, the Arabs, were all part of that plan. But the further delay in the birth of the son of promise was also part of that plan. See, they thought the problem was solved. It wasn't. When Abraham was 99 years old, Genesis 17 tells us that God appeared to him again and called himself the Almighty, which might be important if you're depending on his promises and if you're believing him. At that time, he renamed Abram, meaning exalted father, to Abraham, father of a multitude. And by the way, along with the frustration of living in a tent in the land that he was promised to be his inheritance, imagine the embarrassing frustration of being named exalted father, that's Abram, but having no children. When the visitors come by, right? Oh, exalted father. You know, what's been going on? You know, I talk to him. Where are the kids? Don't have any. Anyway, in that Genesis 17, again, a lot's going on there that we're skipping. Very, very, very important stuff. But we want to relate to our text today in Hebrews. So anyway, at this time, circumcision was given as the sign of the covenant. But God also revealed his prerogative, and I'm putting it this way, to harden whomever he chooses to harden, and to show mercy to whomever he chooses to show mercy. Here's what happens in Genesis 17. I'm going to start at verse 15. And God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, my princess, but Sarah, princess, shall be her name. And I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her." Verse 17, "Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed, and said to himself, 'Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?'" Now, he said that to himself, but he was laughing. Okay. "And Abraham said to God," this he says out loud, "'Oh, that Ishmael might live before you.'" That was verse 18. See, they thought the problem was solved. It wasn't. Verse 19, "God said, 'No, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac.'" I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. Now as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful and multiply him greatly. He shall father 12 princes, and I will make him into a great nation. Verse 21. But I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year. Very shortly after this, in Genesis 18, and it just looks like the time period was like real short. The Lord and two angels came by, you know, before the destruction of Sodom. And in verse 9, they said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" And he said, "She's in the tent." The Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." Now, they planned it this way, obviously. And Sarah, this is end of verse 10, and Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. See, so now Sarah got the message. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I'm worn out, my Lord is old." Notice she calls him Lord. "Shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied it. She just listened in, see? But they said, "Hey," she laughed. "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. He said, "No, but you did laugh." But she also said, heard the Lord say, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" See, at this time, it's now 14 long years after Ishmael was born, and an even longer 25 years after arriving in Canaan. And sure enough, from Genesis 21, we learn, Genesis 21:1, the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. Promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac, meaning he laughs. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, "God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me." And she said, "Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age." Now, this is a wonderful piece of history that has its pinnacle in Jesus, the Son of God, who became incarnate, how? By the Virgin Mary, who was also called blessed of the Lord, like Sarah. All to the glory of our Almighty Sovereign God. As it was with Abraham and Sarah, you and I, and all God's adopted children, have our place in our Heavenly Father's plan. He leads us little by little along the way, sometimes with long gaps that we wonder what's going on. By the very faith he imparts, we follow in obedience to his word, not because of anything in us, you see. Holding on to the promises he has given, humbly acknowledging our need to patiently wait and not turn back. To depend on his work in us and in our circumstances. It's his work. Like Abraham and Sarah were, we are still sojourning in this world, awaiting the heavenly city, still living in these tents of flesh, awaiting our resurrection bodies. We believe that, like them, in the end, we too shall laugh. You see, the Holy Spirit in Hebrews 11:11 says, "By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised." In the end, it is not about Abraham and Sarah, nor is it about us, but it is about the glory of our promise-keeping God. Amen? Father, grant that we wait in obedience as servants, that we wait in hope as heirs, that we wait in expectation as believers. You are our promise-keeping God, in whom we joyfully trust. And the children of Abraham, God's people, reply, Amen.